So we are starting today's Human Relations Commission meeting on Wednesday, March 11th, 2026. Current time is 5:17 p.m. And we can go ahead if the chair would like to start.
Yes. All right. Well, good evening. Call this meeting of the Human Relations Commission to order. I'm Eric Howard, and I'll be serving as chair and facilitating this conversation. Mm-hmm. So let's begin with roll call.
Mm-hmm. All right, perfect. So we will begin with roll call, starting with Ashley Jackson.
Here.
Eric Howard.
Here.
Cedric Smith. I'm not here. Belen Sisk.
Here.
Josue Romero. I'm not here. Iris Berry.
Here.
And John Dalton. Okay, and we do have quorum. We may proceed.
Right, thank you. I did hear from Josue that he may be a little bit late, had some last minute things coming up, but we'll try to hop on the call.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so the next agenda item here is the approval of the minutes from February 11th. 2026. Has everybody had an opportunity to review the minutes?
I did review those minutes.
Okay.
I did not see anything that needed to be edited or fixed in those minutes.
All right. I did have one thing, and I think it's just more of a preference, if it is okay with folks, but on item 7, what's new in Tucson, and this is what I brought up. I would just, might just prefer, just for the record, to end the first conversation or the first, sentence there with, Nancy Guthrie, just period. I don't want to be speculative, or come across as speculative. So I would just maybe be more comfortable ending it there.
Okay, sure. I'll definitely make a note of that.
Thank you. Any other comments? Well, if there's
you go ahead. I was just going to say, if there's no other comments, you can go ahead and make a motion in a second, and we can approve those, if there's no other comments.
Feel free to chime in now if you've got anything else. If not, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll motion to approve those minutes.
Thank you, Ashley. Wait for a second. I'll wait for a second. I think I'll wait for somebody else to second that.
A motion to approve those minutes.
Okay. And then you'll second. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor can say aye.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So hearing a motion and a second, so we can proceed to the vote. I'm assuming, Belen, you seconded, right?
Correct.
Okay, just for the record. Okay, so we can move to roll call to approve the motion, starting with Ashley Jackson.
Aye.
Eric Howard.
Aye.
Belen Sisk.
Aye.
Motion passes 3-0.
Great, thank you. The next agenda item is call to the audience. So this is an opportunity for members of the public to address the commission on issues within our jurisdiction that's not already on the agenda. What I understand is, do we have any speakers? See anybody? Okay. No speakers. I think we can move forward. Fourth agenda item, update from the HRC representative to LGBTQ. I think that's Josue, is that right?
That's
correct. So I do believe that it was Josue. However, since they are now a member of the HRC, there is a opening for that. We can discuss that more into the vacancies for a representative from the HRC to the LGBTQ commission and as vice versa as well.
Okay. So no update then. Then let's move forward here to the TCE resolution updates. I'll provide just a brief update on the TCE resolution and letter conversations so far. So over the past few weeks, I've heard from Daniel Sullivan and Alicia Velasquez, who I've been working with on the subcommittee around this work. And what they've shared with me over some email conversation is that they've been having really productive engagement with the community, people that they've been in touch with, and the Pima County Health Department. And those conversations are ongoing. And so from what I'm hearing from them, the dialogue between the community and the county is moving forward in a meaningful way. And there are regular meetings happening to explore solutions that specifically align with the city's resolution, which is, I think, really great and exciting to hear that they are having those conversations. My sense from those involved is that things are moving forward, for the Human Relations Commission, I don't think we necessarily need to, be more involved than we need to be. So I've asked them, how can we be helpful in removing barriers or continuing the conversation, or opening up opportunities for additional dialogue? And they say that, they're really in a good spot. And they'll be in touch if they feel like we can be helpful. I was in touch with Supervisor Cano's office last November, the HRC passed a letter inviting him and to meet with the subcommittee, which includes me, Daniel Sullivan, Alicia Velasquez, and John Dalton, just to have a conversation about what further engagement could look like. And his office said that they didn't say if they've gotten the letter. They know that the letter is coming, or maybe they already have it, but they did assure me that they are already meeting with Alicia and Daniel, and their relationship is ongoing and productive. And and they mentioned that that's a good thing. And so I think that is the main update that I have there. Any questions about that?
Yeah, just a question for clarity. So at this point, we're just kind of, or as the HRC, we're just on standby if there be a need for an outlet or anything. But as far as the letter is concerned, it's kind of served its purpose to get to the county, to get what needs to be done as far as conversations or change.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I for some reason, I'm not getting a straight answer from Cano's office of whether he's actually received the letter from the city. And maybe, Abraham, you have more intel on it than I do. But they know about the letter. Alicia's already been in touch with their office. So I think the intent of the letter is happening. And And I think, you know, from hearing from them that it's good dialogue. If they do happen to, you know, get the letter and his office does want to have a conversation that it does involve, you know, the subcommittee and me as an HRC member, you know, I said that we'll reconvene the subgroup and just say, you know, what's the right approach to that? How do we want to strategize around that conversation to be, you know, productive and not repetitive? And make sure that it's helpful for the further work going forward. But it could all be that, hey, they don't need this conversation. They're moving forward with what they need. And, you know, and that's as far as it goes. So, we'll continue, I think, to keep this item on the agenda just to make sure, you know, nothing has changed over the next, few months here. But yeah, that's where things stand.
Understood. Thank you.
And also, just to jump in, just to give a quick update, you know, we have been waiting to hear back from the mayor's office regarding the letter, their approval. We do appreciate your patience on that, absolutely. And we did get, I did discuss this with my supervisors, and we did come to the conclusion that the mayor essentially gave approval through recommendation to forward the letter to Andres Cano, you know, for county. So if the HRC would like to do that, would like to send the letter themselves to Cano's office, that is a option that you have. We can also, you know, wait for an update from the mayor's office as well. So at this point, we do have that recommendation entirely to the committee, but just to kind of give an update on that resolution.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're saying that the mayor is given approval for the HRC to act on our own as our own entity to send the letter to his office.
There was a recommendation from the mayor that it should be forwarded. So, you know, my supervisor, I did get direction from my supervisor to say if the HRC so chooses, they can forward that letter to Cano's office, just to let us know if you do plan on doing that, whether through email or however you'd prefer, but yes.
Okay. So then I suppose then, right. So then that's the answer to our question that they don't have it. But mm-hmm. What do you think? We could. One thought that I'm having is because they are aware that this letter is coming, I do think that it's probably good to just close the loop with them, regardless. I think one option is I could forward that letter to our letter to the contact that I've been in touch with at his office and just say, here's the letter and what you said, Abraham, and you know, if Cano, we understand that Cano is meeting with the community representatives named in the letter. And if more action from his office is suggested, that we're open to that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That could be an option as well. If you absolutely can do that, keep us in the loop. You know, I can definitely verify with my supervisors if that's the action you want to take. Just to verify that, and, you know, that can absolutely be done.
Okay. Is that a vote that we would need to take, mm-hmm. or because we've already passed mm-hmm. it?
If you can just send me an email with the letter, for example, and I can get that with my supervisors. Since the letter itself has already been approved to be sent to Cano, you know, we were just waiting on approval from the mayor, we can certainly get that forwarded and see what more we can do with that on that front.
Okay. What do you all think?
I'm in agreement with that strategy, like you said, just to because they were already aware that a letter was coming and they have not received it at this point, at least to, you know, on our end, make sure that letter is actually in their possession. And then if they need us any further, I think that would be best just so if we know we can now cut the red tape and just get them the letter. I think that's a good strategy, which you spoke, getting it to your point of contact or to Abraham, however we need to get that done just so they have it in hand.
Okay. Then maybe Abraham, I think it probably is good to have maybe a little context with the letter, if you send it from the clerk's office and after you get that approval, to send it, I could give you some language that just says, you know, this is, you know, forwarding the letter to his office with a couple sentences from the HRC chair that just says something to the effect of, you know, we're open to working with you. Mm-hmm. We also understand you've been working with the community as intended.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yes, absolutely. That can be done.
Okay.
I'll definitely keep that in mind.
Okay, great. I will, I'll give you some language there and, we'll go that route. Oh, and then related to this, to the topic of the, so we passed the HRC flyer last time. I don't think I saw the final version sent to the commission. Has other people seen the final version with the QR code?
I believe I have. I need to check my email, but I believe I have.
Okay. Great. So, Abraham, you did forward that. Is that right? To everybody?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. I do remember forwarding that to the remainder of the commission as well. Yes.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, it's great that we got the QR code put on the letter, or I mean on the flyer. I think that really strengthens it. A lot of people see things on their desktop, and especially if they're going to the Human Relations Commission page, which it's on there too. Is that right?
So we're currently looking at uploading that to which category as well. So we're still in the process of doing that as well. But we do have the approved flyer, and we're going to continue on with that.
Okay. Okay, great. That's awesome. Thanks again for doing that on your side. Appreciate that.
Of course. Right.
That is everything that I have for the TCU resolution updates. We'll continue to keep this on the agenda. And Abraham, I'll forward you some language, and we'll get it to his office via email. All right. Let's see. So the next agenda item is the Missing and Murdered Indigenous People Task Force update and next steps. I see that we don't have Josue on here. But when Josue emailed me, he said he would be in and out. So what I will do is just tee this up and see how we want to move forward. So Josue prepared a draft letter for our review, and I think Abraham sent that this morning, it was. So I think it's pretty fresh in your inbox. So the goal of what Josue wanted to do was review the letter with this group, discuss any additions or edits, and then consider whether we would like to take any action on next steps that are in the letter. And so I think that action could include a vote on forwarding the letter to the mayor and council. So that is the purpose of what he was, or what his objective was, I think, in this conversation. He's not here, and I can't speak to specific questions on it. So maybe one option could be to review the letter together, discuss any edits, questions that we have, and I could send comments, edits, questions to Josue, and maybe our vote could be pending these edits, incorporating these, you know, suggestions, we would approve anything more significantly, you know, any significant changes or anything kind of outside of what we'd approve like that would need to go through reapproval with the HRC next month. Just, I'm trying to balance here getting what Josue needs from us and not maybe waiting another month. Yes, Tracy. Oh, you're on mute if you're talking. I thought I saw Tracy's hand up. Tracy, was your hand up? Maybe not. Okay. What are your...
So, sorry, just to jump in real quick. So we can, if you'd like, if you'd like to... As the chair, if you'd like to make a motion and a second to review and approve the letter with edits, for example, you can review it first. And if you do want to make that motion and vote at this meeting to approve the letter with pending edits, you can do that. Or if you'd like to wait till the next meeting, you know, if you want to involve Josue, you know, so that way, you know, they can also vote on it. That's entirely up to the chair. So those are options we can do. You can review it and make a motion to approve or simply review and get the comments to Josue, however you feel would be best to move forward.
What do others think between the two options? Ah.
I think Josue has entered in. Maybe we can do it all together now.
Yes. Josue, are you, I know you're distracted and kind of on the go, but are you prepared to lead the conversation on the letter? That's the agenda item we're on.
Oh, I was like, oh, I have like 5 minutes, 6 minutes to jump in real quick. And I was like, and it seemed to, yeah, I can,
Do you want to share your screen or do you want me to? Is that, what would be more helpful?
If you could, that'd be great. I'm on my phone. If you could, that would be great. I tried to write it in a way that acknowledges the mayor and council for like being innovative in creating the task force, since the city of Tucson was the first city in the nation to establish a task force to look into the missing and murdered Indigenous people crisis. And in that, the task force is made up of city officials, the Tucson Police Department, county officials, to look into ways to address safety in our community and how to better support Native folks in Tucson, Pima County. And so it was established in 2023, in May of 2023. So it's coming up on its 3-year anniversary. And since its creation, there hasn't been like an update to the community around some of the information. Some of the information that the task force has collected, or ways that the city and county have like established policies or protocols to better support Indigenous folks. Particularly was interested in wanting to hear if Tucson Police Department has incorporated the training that's available around the turquoise alert system, that's known as Emily's Law, who is named after an Indigenous girl who went missing and was later found murdered. And so I kind of wanted to at least create a letter or like a piece to ask the city to provide like an update to share around if Tucson Police Department has incorporated that, and just share a little tiny piece around the listening session that was held here in January that had almost 20 families come to testify. And there were more families who didn't get to testify who were there. But I know that the state task force will be creating something to present to the governor. And I believe that will be made available to the public once it is ready. I'm happy to answer any questions that you all might have. It's kind of long, and I was trying to shorten it a little more, but then I thought some of it, when I took it out, was like, kind of took away from what I was trying to say, so then I went back and added it back in.
Do you know, who the, and maybe I'm sorry if you said this and it's in here, but do we have like a main content from the city that has been working directly from this? Like, is there a city council person, or is there another commission or official that is really well versed in this?
I don't know if there's another commission. I know that there's a task force. I know that when the task force was created, Vice Mayor Lady Santa Cruz was there and has been spoke. So I think, but I don't know for sure if there's like a lead person from the city. But I could be wrong.
Balin.
That would be the chairperson for the task force. That would be April Ignacio. I don't know if I'm saying her last name. She's Tan Atam, and she runs the that coalition signed by the governor's office. I'm sorry, I don't have the whole name right here, but she is the point of contact for that organization.
For the local city, the local one, or the governor's task force? Because I know
for
she,
the governor's task force.
Mm-hmm. Because I do know that she is part of the governor's task force, and I believe she also might sit on the local city county task force. But I don't know if like the city themselves has a like lead person from like city government level, because April is not a city employee or a state employee. She is someone who runs a grassroots civil engagement advocacy organization, and through that I know she sits on both task force, but I don't know if there's particularly someone who's employed by the city.
I don't think it would hurt to ask. I know how to get in contact with her if we needed to do that, or if somebody else here could do that.
Yeah, I can connect with her. In that way, and maybe she has a direct person at the city that she's worked with or knows.
Yeah, I went to the listening session. I'm sorry if I'm out of order, or I don't know what we're doing. Sorry about that, Eric. But I was there at the listening session, so I got to speak with TPD, I suppose, was the two police officers there that were conducting their, I guess it is just like a statement saying they have cultural awareness training that not every county is required to do. It's almost like it's like a voluntary training. And myself and Lane Santa Cruz, we sat next to together and we talked to the police department about making this maybe a mandatory training in accordance with the turquoise alert and such forth. So thank you for letting me speak. Sorry about that.
All good. Any other questions? All right. So, again, this is a... the call to action here is to request an update from the mayor and council around these items. And to prioritize the request in the coming months, to provide that update in the coming months. How do people feel about those items and call to actions with this letter?
I'm in agreement with those calls to action as to, you know, maybe them giving a public or allowing the public to know where we're at. That way, if there's anything that we can do or just be in the know, if they know something different than we do, just being able to provide us with an update about where they're at or what they're doing, that might be an opportunity for us to partner with or go in a different direction as far as how we can serve or how we can help in that capacity. So I think those, Josue, very good job on that letter. And I think those are good calls to action or what we're asking of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, this is a great letter. I think it's thorough yet very concise. I know that you tried to shorten this, but I can see why you kept it the length that you did. And so I appreciate the level of detail and care that you put into this. So I think my only thing is, you know, I think in previous letters, we've put our, you know, HRC logo or seal, on the top here. So if we could get the clerk support on that, and then send it over to, the mayor and council, and wait to hear from them. It looks like we have no edits then to work through. Are we ready to vote on this?
If there's no further discussion or edits, you, as the chair, can make a motion to approve the letter as it is, followed by a second, and we can go to roll call if you'd like to.
All right. So I'll make the motion to approve the letter as it is. I don't know if it matters, but to also have our letterhead on there as well, just for the record. Is there a second?
I can second.
Way.
Okay.
Any
hearing on this? Mm-hmm. Okay. If there's no further discussion, hearing a motion in a second, we can go to roll call for voting. Let's start with Ashley Jackson.
Aye.
Eric Howard.
Aye.
Belen Sisk.
Aye.
Josue Romero.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0.
Congrats, Josue. Thank you. Thank you again for the work on this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josue. That was a great letter. Thank you so much. Just in time for the month of May, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Peoples Month.
All right. Item 7. What's new in Tucson/Pima County, just discussion. So this is just an opportunity for us to share relevant updates or emerging issues related to human relations in Tucson and surrounding areas. So I'll open the floor to commissioners. anything that you've seen, heard in the community you think is worth sharing, discussing? I feel like there's always so much news. I don't know where to start in some of these. But anything on your mind?
I can share that over the weekend over the last couple of weekends, there have been like Pride events that have popped up. The Tucson Pride that had been around for many years is no longer, it's not returning, at least in that current form. However, different groups have put together different events. Hotel Congress had one two weekends ago, I believe. And then this past weekend was the Latino Pride, Tucson Latino Pride Festival. And people came out, they attended both events. It was amazing to see all kinds of community, like organizations and members come together just to highlight, what joy or the LGBTQ plus community can look like or looks like, given the current climate of things. So I just wanted to share that piece.
One thing I heard, and maybe this is people already heard this, but Pima County Board of Supervisors recently passed policies restricting federal immigration enforcement on county property unless agents have a judicial warning, which I think is mirrors a Tucson similar policy that was passed with the city of Tucson. So I just think that's kind of noteworthy to be aware of.
Piggybacking on ICE-related subjects, I know that TUSD board, the parent board, and the teachers, I'm not too sure if it's the teachers. Well, actually, I think it is. They were asking for more training. They're asking the board for more training when it comes to ICE and protecting the kids. So I think that's something I'm definitely keeping on top of because I have a child within TUSD, so. And also an educator.
You know who provides that training? Is that like through government or nonprofit?
I don't know. It was just a news article that I had seen on, I think it was on Kagan 9 maybe. But it had just, the title was, teachers are asking for more training when it comes to ICE and how to protect their kids and whatnot. I mean, and I think it's just so bizarre to kind of ask for this kind of training. So.
Anything else? Great. Well, I think then let's move on. Thank you again for sharing. So item 8 here, vacancy and advisory positions. If you could just summarize, Abraham, kind of any vacancies or recruitments or updates.
Mm-hmm. Sure, of course. So we currently, in terms of vacancies, we do have 2 vacant positions for non-voting advisory members. We have a vacant position for mayor, a vacant position for representative commission to the LGBTQ community commission. We also have a vacant position for Ward 1. And those are the currently that we have right now.
So John is eligible to be a voting member or commissioner, right? Do we know by chance what ward he represents?
Mm-hmm. I believe he is eligible. He would have to reach out to his ward office, depending if he wanted to do, for example, ward one, or I believe that was ward one. So for the vacant position, he'd have to reach out to that ward office and see what positions. I can also double check that for sure on our end, but I do believe that he would be eligible.
And the LGBTQ plus liaison. Do we have anybody in mind who they typically find us because they're looking for something or connection, right? Do we want to though think proactively about who that person could be and see if you want to invite somebody?
I had a conversation with one of the commissioners on the LGBTQ plus commission. And I think they're trying to figure out with Gail, who is like the chairperson, to see if they need to be voted from the commission on that side to represent them in this space, or if they can to start attending and report. So there is someone in mind, and I think they're like figuring out the logistics of what that looks like. More to come.
Okay. Well, that's good. So we'll check on that next time we meet, kind of the status then of that appointment is. That what it would be, an appointment from their commission?
I believe so, yes. I know that that commission was also looking at, a liaison on their end as well.
Okay. And, I don't know if they ever would like somebody from HRC to another person besides this way to come and just share about, I don't know, what we do and see another face. Feel free to let me know. I'm happy to help step in and also attend one of the conversations just to observe. So, all right. Well, we've got then two non-voting, you said, and one ward one and one mayor. Okay. With the LGBTQ representative. All right. Moving on to 9, chairperson and commissioner summary of current events. Anything that comes to mind in this category for you all that's maybe a little distinct or different from the what's new category we talked about earlier?
What comes to my mind are just conversations that are being had in the community around how a lot of nonprofits who support folks with marginalized identities or who struggle with like mental health challenges or work with like survivors of violence or youth. A lot of conversations are like of groups coming together to talk about how they can better support each other, how to partner together and exist differently in the current climate. As funding to organizations due to like federal priority shifts, is starting to look different. and how some organizations are facing anywhere between $2.1 to $4.5 million shortfalls in their budget, given those shifts in funding priorities. And so that is something that's happening in the community, and how they're now like looking at how to sustain their organizations and how the need of the community here to, in a way, to step up and like make sure that services for all these vulnerable groups remain available for those who need them.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, in some ways, it's kind of related to the TCE resolution that we passed. You know, the kind of one of the core intents of that resolution is to open up more healthcare access for people who have been impacted health-wise from the TCE poisoning that happened between 1950s and 80s. And working with Pima County to open up more health care services, whether that be for, you know, you know, physical health care checks or mental health. You know, that area was declared a natural disaster. And so there's a lot of also just emotional trauma that happens with natural disasters like that. And so connecting that to healthcare, better healthcare services for people who've experienced that. Yeah, I mean, and we as a commission did that listening session a while back to hear from people and pulled together that, the language for the resolution. And so I don't know, I'm just connecting the dots between where the HRC may be able to plug into some of these organic conversations that are happening in the community around, you know, providing support and more services. And so if there's anything that comes to mind for people as you're hearing these conversations where the HRC can be a listening opportunity to, you know, reflect back what the community is saying to the mayor and council in some way, whether that be any kind of like a letter or anything, right, that says here's what the community's saying, what they need, and asking the mayor and council to do something about it. I think we'd be open to that in future conversations.
Would it then be something like we would, or I guess in the next, for like the future agenda items, there would not be something there where we could say to invite certain organizations to come in and share, or more like us going to whatever like spaces they have available. I'm just trying to think how best to like hear from certain organizations who have already shared that in the public, and just to also have them welcome them into the space to see like how you were just sharing about like what our role can be in that.
Yeah. Well, we, you know, when the HRC resolution for the TCE was taking shape, this was before your time, Josue, I think early last year, we did have community experts come in. So Daniel from the U of A, Alicia, who was really connected deeply in the community with that historical trauma, share their perspectives, and had very specific things that they were asking or haven't historically gotten from the mayor and council around, you know, specific things. So they came in and they said, you know, here's what the issue is. Here's where the city could be really helpful. And the subcommittee formed to help them come up with some language and the right tool to get the city to kind of pay attention. And that's where the resolution idea came in. And now that resolution, as you know, is in the Pima County's hands to do something with that work. So yeah, I think it could start with, you know, community experts coming in, talking about the issues, and, you know, maybe a two-host way working with them on the side to say, okay, what would the mayor and council need to hear of this? Like, what are some things that we could help and support with? So it could start with a conversation. Or if you want to invite us to a gathering that's already happening in the community, and then we can put it on the agenda item to talk about, that together. I think there's a lot of different ways to hear from the community directly and what they might need. Yes, Belen.
Hi, I actually work for a nonprofit that is exactly what we're probably looking for. So, and thank you, Josue, for opening up that conversation, because it's been a struggle. I'm a mental health first aid instructor, so as you can imagine, and from the very first meeting we had with each other, funding is really hard right now, and there are many barriers that we have in place now because of things. And anyway, we're having a community event that's going to be at our location. And I think there's going to be other nonprofit organizations that align with our work that are going to be there. We're going to be there March 28th. If you guys want to come, it's open to the public, and there'll be a DJ and family activities and food and all that awesome stuff. And I'll be there too.
Do you have a flyer or something that, or maybe a web page with that information that you could send to Abraham, then he could forward it over to us?
Yes, yes.
That would be great.
I will do that.
But yeah, I think in general, you know, anytime you would like to invite anybody to be part of these conversations to help us understand what's happening in the community, that would be always welcome. Anything else?
I just have a random kind of thought question. Does Pima County, does their board commissions and committees have like a committee or a board that's comparable to like the HRC?
That's a great question.
And not that we have to compete, but how we can collaborate if they do have something like that, because I know even just with the TCE letter, that was taken over to Pima County. And so I know jurisdictionally there's just those lines, and, you know, they may have different funding or they may have different resources that the city doesn't have. And so I was just thinking, I wonder if they have something that's kind of comparable to the HRC that maybe we can, like Josue was saying, invite them to see, you know, even if it's just to collaborate or have a conversation about what they're seeing in Pima County versus, or where we can kind of bridge that gap or just have that communication. And again, not to compete or this is what we're doing, you know, just to open that conversation of if they have something. I'm not even sure. But I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I'm looking at their list here, and, you know, I see a few things. There's nothing that's like, you know, Pima County Human Commissions, you know, kind of Human Relations Commission kind of thing. But, you know, there's like a Community Advisory Agency Board. You know, they might do some kind of similar things. I did hear one time, and I think it was John who mentioned that we used to be a joint commission with the county, which I thought was interesting. And then we broke off somehow, for whatever reason that is, I don't know. But Yeah, let's, I don't know how, because there would have to be some, you know, looking at the list and looking at who is the right person, but maybe I could put a pin in this if I, depending on the conversation and dialogue that I have with Kano's office, you know, if he wants to open up a dialogue, I could kind of ask him also, you know, just keep that in the back of my mind as something that, because that could be maybe an appropriate question for a contact that we have or that I have for at Pima County. But if anybody else has a contact at Pima County that might be able to provide some insights, that would be great too.
I can certainly look into that, do some research with the county as well, see if there's anything relating to that. So yeah, we can definitely look into that as well.
Yeah, that would be great.
Thank you, Abraham.
Yeah, and so going into, unless there's something else here on the summary of current events, we can go to the future agenda items. So I'm hearing, well, let's keep the letter on the list, the missing and I only know the world in acronyms, missing and murdered Indigenous people topic. Keep that. And like I mentioned, we'll keep the TCE letter resolution. And I know that this was placed last time on the agenda, and we didn't talk about it specifically, but I think, Abraham, you had some updates about whether we had, the commission has any funds that could be allocated to us, because we talked about a treasurer election, but if we don't have any funds right. to manage, there's nothing to.
Right. So, right, just a brief update on that. In the past, the city did have funds for, you know, many commissions. However, that is not the case at this time. So there are no funds from the city for the treasurer position. So not to say that you can't appoint a treasurer, but they wouldn't have anything to do, really. So, you know, it's at this point, there is no funds from the city. We are looking at different alternative possibilities. I know commissions have looked into that as well. But as of right now, that is how it stands.
Okay, so there's no funds from the city, but could the commission manage funds from a private or nonprofit entity that gets us money?
From what I understand, in the past, it was allowed from a nonprofit. I'd have to look into it further to see, you know, exactly what that process would be. But yeah, that would be the most likely way to go. But we'd have to look into that as well.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, I'm connected to some nonprofits who might be interested in giving us a grant for our work, and it would be a small grant. And I know that there's not a lot of, you know, events that we put on, but if that's something that we wanted to have flexibility and do and help cover the cost of, you know, I don't know, either mileage for people or paper copies of things or whatever it be, that we at least have something to pull from if we wanted to. So that'd be great if we could kind of keep that on the radar for this conversation. What funds we can manage. All right. And then, so we've got the MIP letter update. We got the TCE letter resolution update. The funds conversation, keeping that there, and also Pima County, similar commission to what we do, kind of an update there. So update to HRC similar at Pima County.
And so just to clarify, is that something you'd like to agendize for the next meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless that falls into one of the existing categories.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to discuss that more at length, you can add that as an agenda item for sure. So I can make a note and update that for the next meeting.
Okay. You send me the agendas before. So, you know, if you find that there's really nothing to say about that, then we can just have it off. But if you find that there's a few groups, maybe we send links over to this group before the next meeting and just say, you know, which might we have a connection with or we'd be interested in coordinating with. So maybe that can be, that agenda item can be something that you and I connect on before we submit the agenda.
Certainly, yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Anything else that comes to mind? All right. Well, last thing I'll say, just for our point around vacancies, advisory positions, if, you know, we do have that flyer that's new, so feel free to use that. If you've got nonprofit events or anything like that, you want to, you know, talk about the HRC too, please know that that's available and, just use that. Anything else before we adjourn? Great. Well, let's go to the adjournment category. Is there a motion to adjourn?
As the chair, if there's no other further discussion, you can go ahead and adjourn the meeting and once you note the time as well, so you can do that.
Oh, okay. So just adjourn the meeting. Okay, well then, if there's no other discussion, things to review, discuss, let's adjourn the meeting at 8:19 p.m.
And just for the record, I do have 6:19 Tucson time on my end.
Sorry, yes. I work in the central zone, and I'm on my central time zone computers. You're right. It's 6:19.
No worries.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Eric.
Have a good evening, everyone.
Good evening.